Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning there, Tara.
Okay, so number one story in the upstate right now is Brian Kemp down in Georgia, signing that, new policy, basically new law to allow college athletes to begin to be paid, at least for their name and their likeness.
Yeah, the NIL ruling. Yeah.
So going to be interesting to see what that does long-term to college sports. And I'm glad to see it personally, because these guys get injured. I mean, you have people who could have been great in the NFL and they don't even make it there because they get injured. They rack up injuries there, and they should begin getting paid.
Yeah, I've long thought when this whole thing started out that there should be some way to compensate the individual athletes. I know we're talking about team sports here for the most part, but there are certain individuals whose, athletic ability exceeds those of those around them.
Yeah.
And the university profits from that directly, from, sale of the jerseys with a number and, whatever. And if the university, if the athletic department is able to profit from that individual, then I do think that there should be some means of compensation. I was just thinking what would be a better thing to do would be to have a trust fund set up, and when that individual graduates or leaves the university, then those funds would be available, just so that you could, get around that whole thing of paying athletes. But that horse left the barn a long time ago, yeah. So we're done now. So much for my ideas. Who cares?
Well, it was an executive order on Brian Kemp's part on Tuesday, and it lets state schools directly compensate athletes through name, image, likeness, right, opportunities. And look, I mean, I hate to say this, unless you're going to be a doctor or get some kind of science degree, college degrees are increasingly worth bupkis. And with so many corporations beginning to hire people for jobs they didn't used to hire people for, people who don't have college degrees but have life experience.
Yeah.
I don't even know that, giving somebody a free education is worth anything for their, or much of anything for their, their sports. And even now, likeness is worth so much more than it even was before, because there's so many ways to monetize it. So I think it's great that these athletes are going to get this. I think it's going to make college sports so much even more fun to watch. And you know what? I think it could even end up being competition for the NFL. And I think that's good. The NFL has become obnoxious in some ways. People have become alienated from the NFL. So
what will be the incentive for these athletes to attend class? Not like they do it anyway, but many of them do. They have that requirement. But,
That doesn't bother me. I mean, when you have dance majors, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think you should be able to major in a study sports, like on the field.
Okay.
No, I mean, think about it. If you have video game teams now,
yeah.
Why not studies? But think about this for a minute. You could make probably more money in sports. Like, if what I did in college was basically get by in my classes, but I learned my sport and now I can be a high school football coach for the rest of my life. That's employment, right? I mean, you could use it that way. Maybe I can be an assistant coach in the NFL eventually if I have a good track record. I mean, maybe I could come back here to college and work in a coaching capacity in some way and make money that way. Try monetizing a poli sci degree. I think you could monetize, hey, I played in college, much better. And if you don't really get around to going to class, do I care? No, not really. not really. Hope you had a good time, Yeah. Enjoy it. You're young.
Yeah.
You're young. Make good decisions. Anyway, Governor Kemp signing that executive order is the number one story right now in the upstate that people are talking about. So it'll be interesting to see where that gets us in a couple of years. Okay, Kamala Harris. That, could you call it an interview yesterday? It was such, it was so soft. It was the softball-iest of softball interviews from the Black Journalist Association. No. I don't even know what to call it. But Lee, if you saw it, and I mean uncut, you just watched a few minutes of it, you only had one question. And it wasn't what she was going to do about inflation. You already know she's not going to do a damn thing.
Was it how did this woman get wound up being the Democrat nominee for president?
There is that, yeah. And what is she on? She was on something yesterday.
Yeah, I did notice in one of the brief little snippets that actually made it to the mainstream media, it did sound sort of like she had a cold or something or other. I don't know. Maybe she's got COVID again. Who knows?
Sounded to me like some kind of Valium, perhaps.
You think?
Yeah, and I don't know if she has anxiety around public speaking at times in time, but some was going on, and I'm not the only one to say it. Jimmy Fallon said it this morning on Laura Ingraham.
There are days where I watch her, and I legitimately think she is drunk, but then there are these other days where I'm like, no way, she's on pills. Today was a pill day, okay? Because she gets out there and speaks sometimes, and her sentences, have you ever put an address into a GPS, but it loses the satellite connection, so you end up back where you started? That's a Kamala sentence. It's a GPS with no internet connection. It starts out on trust, it ends on trust. You know, we always joke about the significance of the passage of time, and there's such great significance to the passage of time. That's a GPS. To me, I give this one a P for pills. That was a pill day.
Okay.
He's talking about this.
This concept of the public trust. To then understand what the public trust means. It means that you have been invested with trust.
That was from yesterday.
I'm sorry. Oh, gosh.
Do you understand now, Lee, what the public trust is? Or
I already knew what the public trust is. And what she's talking about there has nothing to do with the public trust other than the fact that I don't trust her in public.
No. If you want to hear some of the Valium yesterday that she was, I mean, truly, and you got to watch her demeanor while she does. She's off. I've been watching her demeanor for a while. She's off her demeanor. Whatever they gave her yesterday, there was too much. They need to back that down.
Back the dosage down.
Yeah, I'm serious. Like if it was 15 milligrams, we need to be looking at more like 7.5.
Either that or a time release type of variant.
Time release would have been a better option for her yesterday. I'm not saying this to be funny. Legitimately. This is what the media would be saying if Trump sounded like this in an interview. They would be wondering what he was on, and I would be wondering what he was on. It was bad. She's asked for the third time, Lee, what are you going to do to help people economically?
Right, yeah.
Okay, the most basic tenet of a presidential campaign.
Third time in an interview she's been asked this.
Yes, but this was from the perspective of Black men. Notice how the man asking this question does not sound drugged. Listen to her voice in response.
But polling shows that some Black men, particularly young Black men, are considering voting for Donald Trump, and they see him as better for the economy. What is your message to young Black male voters who feel left out of this economy, and how can your economic policies materially change their lives?
So I appreciate the spirit of the question, but I'll tell you, I've often been asked this question in a way that I've had to respond by first saying that I think it's very important to not operate from the assumption that Black men are in anybody's pocket. Black men are like any other voting group. You got to earn their vote. So I'm working to earn the vote. Not assuming I'm going to have it because I am Black, but because the policies and the perspectives I have understands what we must do to recognize the needs of all communities. And
good gosh.
She never answered
the question. Not even close.
Yeah. Here, you know what? I'll let Jim Clyburn answer it because, you know, she was the tie-breaking vote on the American Rescue Plan, which first caused inflation.
You start putting money out the way we did with the Rescue Act, are you going to fan inflation? It just, that I know, that's elementary.
Okay, now this is the point where the drugs really hit, okay? She's asked about Trump's words. And she explains how she uses words better. Now, let me give you a normal, not really that drugged Kamala Harris, or perhaps she was on uppers at the time. It was a different set of drugs, hard to say. This is what she sounds like normally.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Okay, so that's on uppers. Here's on downers. Listen to this, the significance of words.
Right. It's a crying shame. I mean, my heart breaks for this community. You know, there were children, elementary school children, who it was school photo day. You remember what that's like? Going to school on picture day, who were dressed up in their best, got all ready, knew what they were going to wear the night before, and had to be evacuated. Children. A whole community put in fear. And I'll say a couple things about it. One, you know, I learned a long time ago in my career, having a background as a prosecutor, when you have these positions, when you have that kind of microphone in front of you, you really ought to understand at a very deep level how much your words have meaning. I learned at a very young stage of my career that the meaning of my words could impact whether somebody was free or in prison.
As she goes on and on and on, you got to actually watch the video, too, to see how out of it she is. But here's the point. She's talking about the bomb threats in Springfield, Ohio, which were debunked as fake and from overseas. But she's still pretending the bomb threats were real because allegedly of the eating of the animals. The governor had by then, 24 hours before, come out and said they were fake. They're from overseas. They're not real. Nobody is scared except Kamala. She's more like scary. Anyway, if you get a chance today, go on X, watch the video of this uncut. She's on something. It's a downer, and it's not a good look. They need to adjust the medication.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So... just because the man almost got assassinated is no reason to not keep on egging on the potential assassins. Folks, we're in a weird place right now in this country. Let me tell you why. If I was a little nuts and I wanted to kill Trump, there are a lot of people out there like that. Love to make a name for themselves, but figure it's not worth it because they'll never get close to him. After the first assassination attempt, even the insane assumed that there'd be better security around him. right? So there wasn't going to be a second one, right? That would be embarrassing for the Secret Service. That was knocked down this weekend. And what do you got from Ronald Rowe, the acting director? It's kind of shocking if you think about it. Oh, the golfing outing was an impromptu outing. And so, you know, we just didn't secure the perimeter. Does he say that will change? No. No, he doesn't. This is outrageous, folks. When asked, the Secret Service acting director, when asked, how did a guy manage to lay there for 12 hours straight on the perimeter of Trump's home, to which a golf course is attached? He said, well, you know, we didn't have it on the schedule that he was going to go golfing. And whenever there's an impromptu outing for the president or whoever we're guarding, we don't do the usual perimeter checks, figuring the shooter isn't going to know because we didn't know. That's been a longstanding policy. He's right. But it's for when you're on the road and you stop at a restaurant that you've never been to before, will never be to again, and you want to say hi to the people inside. Impromptu is not when the president goes golfing on the course at his home, which you're supposed to be protecting. So Josh Hawley, senator, knocks that down.
I mean, Donald Trump plays golf frequently. He has been to this course frequently. It adjoins his residence. It's not as if they parachuted him in somewhere where they'd never been before. Clearly, the shooter.
Okay, so you're watching. If you're obsessed with Trump, if you're one of the 99 terrorists that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden caught at the border but then released into the country, we still don't know where they are, by the way. Ashley Moody's still suing the attorney general of Florida. She wants to know how many of them are in her state. If you're ISIS, one of the ones they've let in, if you're one of the terrorists they've let in, if you're one of the terrorists who walked in, if you're Trinidad and Aragua, if you're Iran, you're hearing this and you're going, this guy's refusing to protect the perimeter. You're learning they're not going to protect the perimeter. That's what you learned from that. He's lying, by the way. This would not fit under the Secret Service's impromptu guidelines because it's Trump's house. Well, we didn't know if he was going to leave the house that day, so we just didn't bother to secure the perimeter. How do you hear that if you're an assassin, if you're ISIS, if you're Iran? By the way, folks, think about this for a minute. The Ayatollah of Iran tweeted that he intends to kill Trump and his inner circle. He's already sent two assassins to do it. They were recruiters, not assassins. Personally, they were recruiting assassins. Here on the soil, we caught both of them. We got both of them in custody. Okay, you hear that. What you hear is, we're not securing the perimeter. And they're ringing the dinner bell. They're ringing and ringing and ringing. That's what you hear. Todd Pyro nailed this on Fox News.
I'm pretty worried that a foreign actor, along the lines of what you were saying, is going to see how close these two presumably lone individuals got to the president of the United States and say, hey, if we flood the zone with two, three, or four foreign actors, they could succeed in the mission to take him out. And that is a chilling and terrifying thought.
They could. And you knew that for sure after watching the Secret Service director yesterday. Okay, listen to this. Yet the left won't stop egging on their base to violence. Just two days after the assassination attempt, Karine Jean-Pierre, chief spokes hack for the White House, is at it again. And Peter Ducey calls her on it, and she doesn't have an explanation or a justification.
How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question, the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it. Because American people are watching
as they weaponize their base to violence on purpose. They know he's not secure. They saw that Ronald Rowe press conference too. Do you remember almost a year ago when I brought you the shocking story that the Biden administration was direct flying in illegal immigrants on planes? Remember that was broken by the Center for Immigration Studies? Shocking. Tens of thousands of them that they found in the first tranche. And they got the information. They had to sue the Biden administration, FOIA sue them, Freedom of Information Act. When they got the information and published it, the media went into overdrive, denying this, fact-checking. Nope, illegals are not being flown in here directly by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, including from Yemen and Iran. That would never happen. Well, the UK Daily Mail, you remember, rebelled. American media was fact-checking right and left, wasn't happening, lies. It's not true. UK Daily Mail said it was, and they doubled down. Even though the media was fact-checking it, they were right. Well, we just got numbers on how many illegals they flew in here. You ready for this? You might want to sit down. 550,000 that we know of. Now, keep in mind, they were lying about it when it was 50,000, saying that was, we didn't do it, we're not bringing them in. Well, okay, it's not more than that. Okay, well, wait, it is. So I have no doubt whatsoever there are more and that they're lying about those two. 530,000 migrants. Bill Malusian with Fox News reporting flown in yesterday. That's illegal immigrants to the rest of us. What they do is give them a little QR code. It's all nice and official and it lets them walk unvetted through our airports. Well, does having a QR code make it official? You're an immigrant now, not an illegal. No, you're still an illegal. You just have a QR code. And that way, the TSA knows not to screen them like they'd screen second-class citizens like us. They're first-class citizens, even though they're illegals. In addition, 813,000 illegals are scheduled via appointments via the CPB One app. Well, is that official? No. They're still illegals, but they've got a nice little QR code. And they can use that to walk through the port of entry. That way, Joe and Kamala can claim, hey, look, illegal immigrant crossings are way down. We've defeated. No, they're sneaking them through ports of entry. So ports of entry would either be through the airport or through the actual ports that you and I would have to use, like, say, a visa to go back and forth. But because we're second class kinds of people, we're not first class like the illegals. For a total of 1.3 million migrants, illegals, whatever you want to call them, brought in here by the Biden regime that are not counted in the totals. This is how they're going to do it now, folks. They're going to bring 30 million in. You give them 4 more years, they bring 30 million in here this way. And we'll have to sue and sue and sue and sue to find it, play games with them. Now, here's the other thing he's doing. He's created his own jobs program, Joe Biden. Congress hasn't authorized any of this. And he grants 2-year work permits. Joe Biden does. It's just a piece of paper. Okay. It sounds nice official, but it's a piece of paper. Well, here's the problem Bill Malusian was explaining on Fox News yesterday. Our immigration agents now have 7,000 cases apiece. That's a backlog of 8 million on the docket. So what is going to happen? He says the bottom line, the more than 1 million illegal immigrants the Biden administration has allowed into the U.S., with these fake work paper programs, they're here to stay. There's nobody to pick them up. And so the pace is going to increase. I mean, keep in mind, a year ago, they were denying anybody was flying in and said it was fake news. So I have no doubt. We just found 1.3 million. There could be 10 or 15. It wouldn't surprise me one iota. And they will lie about it till they're forced to give up the truth. Now, Elon Musk yesterday tweeted something really important about all of this that you need to understand, because this is a voter recruitment program. When you're talking about the 800,000 that have these appointments, all these people that are being put on planes that are being taken into the interior, and the Biden administration has let in about 9 million of them plus this other 800,000, right? They're being brought in. Here, I'll read what Elon Musk tweeted yesterday, and he's right. Those granted asylum become citizens within 5 years, which is just over one presidential election cycle, and then vote overwhelmingly Democrat. This is why so many are being placed in large numbers in Arizona, Wisconsin, Ohio, and other swing states to create a permanent one-party rule by the Democrats. He's right. Now, it used to be when we created asylum, it was mainly for Soviets to act as a magnet to get them to risk their lives to come here. And we'd take in a dozen, maybe a year. But we got liberal judges now that are throwing out the asylum, handing it out, handing it out, handing it out, handing it out. In fact, if that bill had passed, the one they claimed cut, the, you know, crackdown on the border, but Trump wouldn't let it, that lie, they were going to send judges to the border to greet the illegals as they came over and hand them asylum, hand them their green card. We're stuck with them at that point. It's very hard to stop them from getting citizenship. So this is absolutely a voter drive, which brings us to Springfield. Which brings us to Springfield and these shocking numbers about the Haitian migrants. 81% of the Haitian migrants are being relocated in areas that voted for Trump. 81%. So let's jump over to Springfield, Ohio. Why were 20,000 migrants dumped on a town of 52,000 people? And by the way, this is going on all over the country. Because Springfield is red. And not too long ago, Ohio was purple. It was a swing state. Springfield votes 60.7% for the Republican Party in the last election, 37.4% for the Democrats. Or they did. But over the last 3 years, we dumped 20,000 Haitians. They're going to be asylees. We don't know who the hell they are, but they're going to be asylees because we can't vet them. The government collapsed. We can't call their government and find out who they are, which is how the Democrats like it. They could just be from the prisons. There's no way to know. So they dump them on a red city. That city's going to go blue. That's what this is about. And that's what Elon Musk is warning about. And he retweeted the 81% figure too. 81% of the Haitians going to red areas. Why? They are expected to vote Democrat. And they are going to flip those areas and they're going to flip them fast once they get the asylum. And again, he said, and he's right. It's 5 years. If you get asylum, it's not that way for every category, but for Haitians it is because their country has unfortunately collapsed. Now we're learning about a town called Charleroi. It's in Pennsylvania. It is Republican, so it's open for attack. Attack by the voter drive people. 2,000 Haitian migrants dumped there. It's a very, very small town. And the influx of people has overloaded the sewage system, and locals are complaining about the smell. The sewage system is not built for it. She wins, folks. The number in my mind is 30 million. I mean, new, bring them in here. And you're going to see them now that they have got the congressional districts by stacking them in California and New York. You're going to see them dumped in mass on Republican towns to quickly flip them blue. I don't know how many days Scott Jennings has left to appear on CNN. I can't imagine they're going to let him keep talking if he continues saying things like this. He's one of their talking heads, one of their paid commentators. And man, did he hit this on target. Talking about the Democrats using language that encourages violence to radicalize their base to get the violence out of them that they actually secretly want. It's today's first epic rant. And Scott Jennings nails this. Look, we just heard Crane John Pierre use the word danger, describe Trump as a threat just 2 days after the assassination, double down on that, and then play innocent when she gets busted by Peter Ducey, which is what they do. If they didn't want to get busted, they'd stop using the language that encourages violence, but they won't. And Scott Jennings nails why on CNN. Take a listen. Like nobody else I've heard.
You know, when these things happen, and they're happening to Trump, they've happened twice, there is a lot of demands for Trump and Republicans to take responsibility for what's happening to Donald Trump. But what I never hear is Democrats being asked to take responsibility for all of the radicalization of their political base over the last several months and several years. I mean, Harris herself, I mean, she talks about the bloodbath, which is not true. She talks about the fine people, which has been debunked. She talks about the dictator. She talks about the elimination of the Constitution. She talks about Project 2025. She talks about IVF. She talks about things.
She's all quoting
this,
Trump.
All of this, the underpinning of their campaign is to radicalize a political base. Okay. And now when something happens, oh, I called him up and we had a nice conversation. So as a Republican and speaking for Republicans, It makes me very angry that somehow it's Donald Trump's fault that he's been nearly shot twice.
Yeah, but Scott,
it's not.
Scott,
what I am simply saying is that in the wake of a second assassination attempt of Trump, we seem to be talking all about what Donald Trump is doing, but we're not giving any thought to the radicalization of a liberal political base through a series of comments that came from the president and the vice president themselves. And it's not just the threat to democracy. It's worse than that. They have said, they have taken this thing about the bloodbath out of context, and both of you must acknowledge that it's been taken out of context and repeatedly debunked. But when you tell your political base, Donald Trump wants to cause a bloodbath on the streets of America right before becoming a dictator and right before ripping up the U.S. Constitution, what do you expect is going
well,
to happen?
Scott,
and so I want somebody, I want Harris and Biden to say, you know what, the bloodbath thing, we shouldn't be saying it, but they're not going to do it.
No, because they want the results they're getting. By the way, if you look up the definition of bloodbath, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, online, look it up. Trump used it correctly. The first definition is a great slaughter. The second, a major economic disaster. That was the context in which he used it. He said it will be a major economic disaster for American automakers if she wins, because the Chinese automakers are getting ready to eat their lunch. They are opening plants and factories down in Mexico that are dependent on Kamala Harris or Joe Biden ordering us to purchase the EVs they'll be making. That's what Trump was talking about. It had nothing to do with violence or bloodshed. He's right, but their base doesn't check this stuff. They don't even know how. And they become more and more frightened and afraid of the violence until they themselves become the violence.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.